Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? We have Parshas Emor. It's all fired up because this is a great week to speak about Sfiras Omer, because the Parsha speaks about Sfiras Omer in the midst of Sfiras Omer, in the midst of the, we're smack in the middle, you know, right in those middle weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, when everybody's beards are nice and long. Yeah, we're getting there and nice and itchy, and people start to yearn a little bit for the end, and hopefully we're not yearning to shave, but rather we're yearning for what the real goal of Sfiras Omer is, and that of Kabbalah Satorah. So it's well known that Sfiras Omer has a lot of different ideas, and hopefully today I want to share with you an idea from Rav Pinkus, which I think is a very beautiful idea. And Rav Pinkus writes this in his Sefer between, you know, in Pesach, but at the end there he has a couple of shtiklach on Sfiras Omer and on Shavuos. So this piece always had a big impression upon me in my life, and in terms of my vision, in terms of teaching, and I want to share it because I think it matters. Anyway, by all mitzvos, it has many different ideas within it. Mitzvah Sfiras Omer is no different. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch tells us what's the idea of Sfiras Omer. The idea is that we're counting towards Kabbalah Satorah. That after Pesach happened, we're counting, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Shavasofim is Yom Shadayin Chaserim Lano Ad Lamatan Torah. We're counting, oh, these are the days missing, got another 10 days to go, got another 9 days to go, and so on and so forth. We have another 22 days to go until we could eat cheesecake, until Kabbalah Satorah Mirtzah. But there are a number of problems with that famous pshat of the Sefer HaChinuch, which we've all pretty much told ourselves is true, and it probably is true if the Sefer HaChinuch said it, but the question that we have to raise is, why doesn't the Torah tell us that? If you look in the Psukim in this week's Parsha, it tells us there's a mitzvah of the Korban Omer, and then it says, Sfartim Lachem, Mimochres HaShabbos, which is a whole other question. Take a look in the Yesh Kodesh, was a very beautiful approach. That was the second shir I didn't give today. But Usfartim Lachem Mimochres HaShabbos, you start counting from the day after Pesach, and we start counting towards Shavuos. But there is no mention of this idea of Kabbalah Satorah vis-a-vis Sfiras HaOmer in our counting. It's kind of like, okay, the Sefer HaChinuch told us that, but it's such a fundamental idea, you would think that the Torah would have mentioned that we're counting towards Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, that's Aleph. Question number one. Question number two is the world famous question, which is, if why we count up and not down? I think every shir during Sfiras HaOmer asks that question. Why are we counting up and not down? Right? How many days till you get married? Oh, you're not engaged. But if you were engaged, right? Or if you were even going out with a girl. But let's say you were, and you would be counting each and every minute. Today they have this thing called a countdown clock. You could buy it, I think, in Bed Bath and Beyond. Right? Why do people register in Bed Bath and Beyond? I don't know if they still, because they have a policy where you could return it and you can get the cash for it. So instead of registering at Citibank, you register at Bed Bath and Beyond, and Mamela, you get money. Okay, anyway, little trick. But in Bed Bath, they sell these things, a countdown clock. So Sfiras Omer should be the same thing. It's the most obvious question in the world, and that's why everybody asks it. But what's going on? Now, Rav Pinkus asks both of these questions. And third of all, he asks the following question is, Sfiras HaOmer. It's called the Sphere of the Omer. Korban HaOmer. What's the Korban HaOmer? Underrated Korban. It's the Korban that we bring on the second day of Pesach. And it's a Mincha offering of sorts. Why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? We're counting from the Omer. And what is the type of Korban that is brought? Because this is going to shed some light as to what we're doing. What is the type of Korban that is brought by the Korban HaOmer? It's a very specific, a very unique type of Korban, because it's brought from what kind of materials? No? Barley. Sorim, barley. There are only two Korbanas that are brought from barley. The one we know now is the Korban HaOmer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach. What's the other item that comes from, what's the other offering that comes from barley? Anybody here know? The Mincha of the Sota woman. There's a connection, obviously. Why does the Sota woman bring barley? So the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us the following. The Gemara tells us that she did an act of an animal. Therefore, she has to bring a Korban that is dome to an animal. And that korban delineates and clarifies as to what her actions were. Whether she was in fact clean, or whether she acted like an animal. Aha.
So now we have the following scenario. We're bringing a korban omer, which is somehow brought from barley, and we're bringing the second day of Pesach, and now we're counting the spheres ha-omer, the sphere, the counting from the omer. And for some reason it's linked to Kabbalah Satorah, and we're counting up towards Kabbalah Satorah. We're counting upwards. Where are we going? What's the whole connection here? What's happening with this whole idea? So the Pincus has a beautiful, beautiful idea where he ties everything together as to what is happening. I'm going to skip a lot of the stuff he says because it just makes it more complicated. If we had more time, I would do it. So, let's understand Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu. Let's talk back to Avraham Avinu. He was also told go somewhere without being told where to go. Lech Lecha. Where is he going? Where was he going? He was going to where?
No.
He was going to Canaan. Does it say in the Pasuk? What does it say? Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha. Where else should he go? Me'moladescha. Leave your home. Leave your birthplace. Right? Go from your place. It doesn't say where he's going. Why not? Why not? Same question. We're going towards Kabbalah Satori, yet the Torah doesn't tell us where to go. Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'aretzecha Me'moladescha. Go! Where are you going? You ever wonder? You ever wonder why the Torah is telling us to go somewhere, but it doesn't tell us where we're going? Pincus, as only Pincus could do, gives a beautiful, beautiful mashal. You have a person, you know this mashal. Pincus tells us, you have a person, he spends his entire life in a cave. He's never left a cave. So you want to tell him, Tzaddik, go to the sun. The world is a beautiful place. Describe it. Describe it to me. You can't. Why not? Because your vocabulary that you have to describe the light has nothing, no shaykhness, nothing to what's in the cave. So what can you tell the person? Tzaddik. Take one foot. Put it in front of the other foot. Take the second foot. Put it in front. Hold him by the hand. And bring him out of the cave. And what happens when he leaves the cave? What does he see? He sees the most beautiful thing in the world. He'll see light. He'll be able to see. He'll see the world. To describe the world to somebody who spends his entire life in a cave is the most irrelevant, fruitless conversation one could ever have. If you ever want to waste your words, describe colors to somebody who's colorblind. Describe something to somebody that I have this experience all the time. I try to set boys up with young ladies and I try to describe the girl. After a while, I said, just take her out. Just go out with her. You'll have a nice time. I'm going to say, oh, she's nice and blah, blah, blah. What's that? It's so irrelevant. Take her out. Enjoy yourself. Similarly here. For us to mention in the Torah what Kabbalah HaTorah is on Shavuos, when it comes Pesach, it would have been the most fruitless experience the Torah could have ever had. Because how could you describe what Kabbalah HaTorah is like to somebody who's Kivayachal or Neanderthal when it comes time for Pesach? Because by Pesach, that's the Leda. That's the time we were created as a nation, where we are infants. We just came out of our proverbial mother's womb, where we just left. So we don't know what things are. That's why we're eating Seorim. That's why we're eating barley at that time, because we're doma to an animal. We haven't yet done anything to have left the status of the animal at that particular juncture. And the food is testing us. Are we ready to make that next step of Kedusha? So therefore, at that stage, we eat Seorim, we eat barley. It's symbolic of who we are. But we move towards the carbon we're going to bring on Shavuos, which of course is going to be made out of fine flour. Because then we're humans. But what makes us that human is that we have utilized the time of Sfiras HaOmer to build ourselves day by day. Kivayachal, like that person in the cave who's taken one step at a time to go see the sunlight. Why do we count up and not down? Because when do we count down? We count down when we don't want that time, we merely want that time to pass by, so we move on to the next event. I have one more week till my birthday. It's not true. I have 10 days and one more month till my birthday. I'm waiting for the gifts. And I can't wait till my birthday, so I say there's 40 days, there's 39. Because why? Because I don't care about this time, I'm not doing it. I just want that time to come. Why do we count up and not down? Because each day has value. We count up when each day in and of itself is something more chashuv than the day before. And I utilize it to build. When you're building a building, you don't say how many floors you have left, how many stages have you built. Oh, we've done the third floor. Oh, we've done the fourth floor. You don't say, we got another 14 floors to go. Similarly, a woman who's pregnant. I'm in the third month. I'm in the fourth month. Because each month is another stage in the gestation. It's another stage in the child, in the fetus, becoming a real person. We count up when each day has meaning. And the idea of Sfira is not to pass the time so we can get to Shavuot, so we can eat the cheesecake. But the point is that we grow. And that we build day after day after day, and utilize each day in this particular juncture to leave the Neanderthal stage that we were by Pesach, where we just came out of our mother's womb, Kodesh Baruch Hu's womb, and now we're built up and ready to accept the Torah. So we start with barley, because that's what we are at that time. But we build ourselves up. The tragedy is if we're still eating barley at the time of Shavuos. That's the biggest tragedy of all time. The Torah is telling us, Sfira, count these days. You know the old expression, right? If you look online, I'm sure you find 100 different shiurim with this title. You know, Sfira, don't count the days, but make the days count. Ah, what a clever thing, right? But that's the real idea of Sfira. That's what the Torah is telling us. Don't mention Kabbalah as the Torah. It's like, again, when you go to a guy, I say, take her out. Don't describe the girl, take her out. And then at the wedding, what's the wedding? Then the chassid himself could describe the girl better than anybody else, hopefully. Because he's had a relationship. So you build a relationship in the dating stage. Kiviyachol Pesach to Shavuos is the dating stage. We're trying our best each day to develop, to grow in our midos, to be able to have that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when Shavuos comes, all of a sudden Kabbalah the Torah is something meaningful. And that's the idea of Sfiras HaOmer. This is why you start with barley. This is why the Torah doesn't mention it. It would have been irrelevant. And this is why we count up. We're counting up to make each day count, day after day after day, so that we're ready for Kabbalah Satara. It's the most obvious thing in the world, as we are like people who have left the cave, and we now perversely see the light. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.